And so this is my life. This is what I do. This is my crusade, my mission to preach and teach to everyone who will listen to me, that you don't have to have your hope stolen. You don't have to take a pill. In fact, I've learned to call that sick care. And what really helps with neuropathy is finding health care. And there's a big difference.
Hi, y'all. It's Bridget Cutchell with Real Things Living. Today, my guest is Keith Day, and he's here to talk about what peripheral neuropathy is, and he's here to help people understand that topic. Can you say hi, Keith?
Hello.
I appreciate your time, and this is something that I can't even say the word, peripheral neuropathy. It is hard for people to understand because it's a medical term, and I think the medical field as well is still trying to figure this kind of stuff out and what it is. And can you share your story? Because my understanding is you experienced this for over 20 years.
That's correct. And I was 45 years old at the time. And I remember I started to hurt every morning when I would wake up. I would have pain waking up and I would hurt to get out of bed. It would hurt to walk. And I started to notice, as someone who was a peak performance athlete and a runner and someone who played all sports, that I started to have some muscle atrophy. And one time I was in the shower shampooing my hair, and I had my eyes closed, and all of a sudden I felt like I was going to fall if I didn't reach out and grab the side of the shower. And so I started going to my primary care doctor and others to say, what's happening with me? I'm in pretty good health. And I got all kinds of weird diagnoses. And I was going through that process. I have things like sharp shooting pain in my feet and freedom burning feet. It got worse at nighttime. Then I got to where I couldn't even have covers on my bare toes at night. Something that's called, and I'll say it slowly, sheet feet, where the sheet irritates your feet so much because of hypersensitivity and you can't sleep. And then all kinds of other things begin to happen, swelling in my lower legs and things. And finally, after about a 5-year effort of trying to find out what was going on and of me continually degenerating some, I was diagnosed with type 2 diabetes, and secondly, small fiber polyperipheral neuropathy. And that sounds like a big, huge word. So let me just break it down. Small fiber is from the knees to the toes, or from the elbows to the tip of the fingers. Small fiber. And small fiber has to do with coordination, eye-hand coordination, called proprioception. This is an example of eye-hand coordination. I don't have to look at my fingers to make them snap. Poly means more than one nerve is affected. Now, mononeuropathy would be like sciatica or carpal tunnel, but polyperipheral neuropathy is about more than one nerve, and the key here is peripheral, on the outside of the body, from the elbow to the fingertips, from the knees to the toes, the peripheral part of the body, and neuropathy is about the nerves. And so this disease is caused by a blood flow problem, a vasoconstriction problem, where the microvascular blood capillaries that deliver blood to the sensory nerve fibers becomes vasoconstricted due to chronic low-level inflammation. That's the monster, chronic low-level inflammation. And it causes swelling in the microvascular blood capillaries that deliver all the good, red blood cells, oxygen, nutrients, and antioxidants, to these sensory nerve fibers in the peripheral parts of our body. These sensory nerve fibers are living, breathing nerve fibers, and they need blood to survive. Going through all this, I've learned something very important, which is blood flow is the river of life. If you don't have any blood flow, where are you?
I gotta write that down. I like
blood
that.
Flow is the river of life. And so when these microvascular blood capillaries that are 10 times smaller than a strand of our hair becomes constricted, and no blood gets to the sensory nerve fiber, it begins to die. When it begins to die, you have all kinds of really terrible things happening. Like, you can't walk as far as you used to walk. You can't dance. You can't run. You can't play golf or tennis anymore because you don't have any balance. Your muscle strength is gone. You fall down for no reason at all, which is really risky and dangerous, because if you hit your head, only takes one fall. And then also, is the pain is so debilitating that you can't sleep and it wakes you up. And if you can't sleep, then you can't heal. And so I teach people all about how you get this disease, what it is, how do you get it, and what can be done about it. Because now, after being so sick, after going from someone who played volleyball all over the nation, played basketball all over the nation, championship player, championship coach, tennis player, golfer, road runner, winner of 5 and 10K races, I got so debilitated, I struggled to walk from my bed to the bathroom to my lazy boy chair. And all my grandiose plans of traveling came down to me traveling with a TV remote on the travel channel in my lazy boy. And I would beg my wife to massage my feet 2-3 times a day. Got so bad, I asked her just to cut my feet off. And all the doctors wanted to do was give me pills that were not intended to treat neuropathy. They were non-convulsant seizure medications for epilepsy that they were prescribing off-label. And they would steal my hope and they would say, Keith, you're going to take this pill the rest of your life. And by the way, nothing else can be done. They would say, Keith, you have to learn to live with this. I'm an A personality. I didn't agree with that. I was losing the quality of my life, Bridget. I was facing for the first time ever the real possibility of losing my independence. And that created so much fear and so much anxiety. I became depressed and I became sedentary. And so I ran the gamut of this terrible disease. And today, as I speak to you, because of the things I've learned and the things I've been treated with and by the people who have treated me, I'm now in remission. Now, let me explain what remission means. I cannot stand on a table and raise my hands in V for victory and say, hallelujah, amen, and right on, I'm cured, because there's no cure. It means that I've stopped progression of the disease and I've turned the clock back a little bit on some of my functions, but I still have occasional symptoms. The difference is my knowledge and my education on how to maintain maintenance. And when I do get an occasional flare-up, what to do to stop it in its tracks. And so this is my life. This is what I do. This is my crusade, my mission to preach and teach to everyone who will listen to me that you don't have to have your hope stolen. You don't have to take a pill. In fact, I've learned to call that sick care. And what really helps with neuropathy is finding health care. And there's a big difference. And if you like, I'll explain it. I just appreciate the chance to tell my story to your listeners.
I like the what you said about asking questions and it's not, and then there's one solution is not going to help everybody because we're all different. Mm-hmm. And you'd mentioned that you were diagnosed with type 2 diabetes. Do you think that was what caused it?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I have been an arthritis sufferer as well. And anything in arthritis is full of chronic low-level inflammation, and that causes neuropathy. There's over 100 causes. The number one cause worldwide is type 2 diabetes, far more than type 1 diabetes. And the problem is that right now in America, there's over 70 million people with neuropathy. And since type 1 diabetes is the number one cause, due to our social economic lifestyles of wanting everything now, instant results, instant satisfaction, and society convenience, our nutritional values have declined.
Yes.
And so we create through nutrition and our lifestyles 1.6 million more diabetics every year, Bridget. And up to 70% of them are going to suffer neuropathy. That is huge. And we don't even call that an epidemic. Not to mention the worst kind of neuropathy is caused by chemotherapy.
I've had chemo and I've had cancer a couple of times and a rare primary brain tumor, but we discovered all this because I'm a PETA. I'm a pain in the ass. I'm sorry. Because my doctors think it's funny, but I only work with them because they let me ask questions because they're curious too. Like, why is this happening to somebody who did everything right? And that my issue was, I just, like you, they were giving pills. I'm like, no, what's causing this weird stuff going on with my body? And then that was a brain tumor. And I'm very fortunate. Yeah, the chemo I had to end up doing for the breast cancer that came back very aggressive. That's because we couldn't get the brain tumor in control. It's hard to explain. But that was so much fun. But I
Let
like
me
you.
explain something. Let me tell you what I've developed over the years about this journey. I've come to the conclusion that our American medical standard of care has eroded and decayed to a one-word definition, and that definition is pill. They give you a pill for everything, right? And what do pills treat, symptoms or the cause? They treat symptoms. And when those pills treat a symptom, they always have a side effect. And so what do the doctors do? They give you another pill to treat the side effect of the pill you're taking to treat the original symptom. And then that second pill has a side effect. So you get a third pill to treat the second pill side effects or the first pill side effects. And that's the vicious cycle of sick care. And it is destroying the American society's health. It is.
Do you? I was just going to say, you also mentioned that. Did you change or find out things that you shouldn't be eating, or is that something that as well?
Absolutely, absolutely. I became the biggest fan of Jack LaLanne, who invented juicing, who was a chiropractor, and he used to say all the time, "If it's man-made, don't eat it." And we eat inflammation. We drink inflammation. Most alcohol is made from grains and oats and barley, and that is like pouring gasoline on inflammation in your body. Remember, the big monster to neuropathy is chronic low-level inflammation. Anything, any disease that ends in itis, anything that gluten, anything that has sugar, processed sugar, is like a bomb, causing your neuropathy and your inflammation to explode. Things that come from plants like stevia in the raw as a sweetener, or wine that comes from grapes, is far better than drinking beer or whiskey or bourbon or scotch or any of those things, cognac or vodka. And potatoes and pasta and pizza, all that stuff lights you up. But the good news is you don't need to go on a strict diet. You need to follow the old saying. I wish I'd have thought of this. Moderation.
I learned that I can't have dairy. That was my issue.
Because
that was one of the doctors I saw. But I had to go see a holistic. I had a holistic experience. Mm-hmm. I do, what's the word? Functional medicine. I do a combination. Yeah. It's a threat
I
word.
Congratulate you on that.
Because if I hadn't have done that, and that's why you got to listen to your gut, your body. And I've always my body was telling me, do not drink milk, eat cheese. But they were telling you marketing wise, you got to eat all this for your, no, it was bad for me. I have a sensitivity to it, but it got worse as I aged. Is that right? I don't know if you can eat dairy, but
I try not to eat it. I don't drink milk anymore or things like that. I might on occasion use a little half and half cream for a pasta sauce or something, but it's all in moderation. And it's very little.
Yeah.
If you talk to a medical provider, and I have some in my family that are primary care, they'll say to me, I'll say, "Mark, what do you do?" And he'll say, "Uncle Keith, I practice medicine." The key word being practice. It's not exact science. And you are so correct. As I speak to baby boomers, who are the biggest section of those who suffer from neuropathy in this country, there's an underlying layer of anger towards our medicine today, towards our American Society of Medical Standards today, about how doctors, when I was a little kid going to the pediatrician, that doctor, I'll never forget his name, Dr. Oven in Southeastern Washington, he delivered me. He delivered my mom. He delivered all her sisters. And when we walked in there, they knew what elementary school I went to. They knew my grandpa and grandma. You do that to a doctor today, they just want you to give them their insurance card or give them your credit card, take a seat, fill out 42 pieces of paper, and be quiet and don't. And so when you talk about finding someone holistic, someone, a naturopath or a DO or someone, they'll listen to you. And that's part of healthcare. That's part of what I teach people to find in treating neuropathy is someone who will treat the cause. And there's good news about neuropathy. That microvascular blood capillary that swells shut from chronic inflammation, if you treat the cause of that, it can do this.
Right.
And you can rehabilitate the sensory nerve fibers and bring them back alive again. It's incredible. Right. But you have to do it with healthcare. There's no pill on earth. No pill on earth that will help you. It will only hide the neuropathy. It will mask it. It will trick your body. In the meantime, the neuropathy rests and degenerates on further and further until you can't even.
That's scary. It's really great that you have turned it back some so you can function normally. That to me is, I think, having a lifestyle that you can do things in. And not to me, I don't want to live to be 90, even though I probably will. I'm just kidding. But they talk about longevity, but I think quality of life is more important than quantity. Is that the right word?
No, I was just reading an interesting white paper the other day about don't call it lifespan, call it health span.
Yes,
Your goal
it's
shouldn't be to live long. Your goal should be to live healthy. So
yes.
participate and enjoy life and not be sedentary. And neuropathy causes people to be sedentary. The number one symptom of neuropathy that no doctors discuss, they don't discuss it with the patients, is depression. And
Ah,
the
I didn't
depression
know that.
sinks in so badly because neuropathy forces the patient to become sedentary. And when they become sedentary, they're no longer going to Johnny's baseball game or Jesse's softball game. They're not going to the ball games, the football games, the soccer games, because it's too far from the parking lot. There's not comfortable seating. They don't want to trip and fall on uneven ground. So they sit at home and
Yeah.
stop memories with family. Here's something very important for your listeners to understand about neuropathy. It does not just affect the person who's sick with it. It affects everyone who loves that person because the person with neuropathy, when they become sedentary, they're waving the white flag of surrender and they're giving up. And then everything they used to do, their social circles, going out to dinner, going to family reunions, traveling, stops and comes to a crash landing. And the other members of the family, they don't know what to do because no one educates them on how to support the person with neuropathy. And that's part of what neuropathy warrior does, is educate, provide information, provide education. I believe the most educated and knowledgeable patient will absolutely make the best decisions about their health care.
Right.
And you have the right to question your health care provider. You said it yourself. You question them. You have every right to do that. You need to do that. It's your life.
It's true. And I like that you're being a good role model and the aspect of the caregiver that are helping you, then it affects them too, just like with my circle. They worried about me, but also joke about I'm a little stubborn and resilient, and I learned how to get out there and move again because that was important to me, and I had to do it in small steps. I think that's important too.
Good point. Very good
Got to get
point.
back. Don't do it too. Yes, I'm not 20 anymore, but all the stuff was found in my early 40s, and now I'm in my late 50s, and I'm still able to do things that they didn't think I would. And it's because
Good
I
for you.
use
That's
them.
such a good story.
Right. I don't have
Yeah.
neuropathy, but I probably do a little bit from the chemo and where the surgical stuff is, but it doesn't, but you got to learn to do things that work for you. And I think the movement is so important. A little bit at a time, I think, helps you. I think I've learned that stretching, I have physical therapy multiple times to get back into it. No medicine, but physical therapy, right? Helps.
Stretching is so huge for people with neuropathy because neuropathy steals your flexibility of your fingers and your toes.
Right.
And you get it in your hands to a point to where you can't button your shirt, snap a bra, tie
Wow.
your shoes, or even use utensils to eat. And then how's your independence doing? And I want to say to you that I'm not unique. I'm not special with what I've done with neuropathy. Here's the difference between me and some other neuropathy patient is I got sick and tired of being sick. And I
Yes.
decided to take an action. And as I give lectures all over the country to people sick with neuropathy, I tell them in the beginning, I'm going to give them the most honest discussion about neuropathy they've ever heard. I'm going to tell them the neuropathy truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth with nothing but integrity. I'm going to tell them things doctors will not tell them. And they're going to think that big guy up there with the gray hair is sounding really good, but it might sound too good to be true. And so what's the catch? And so I say, I'm going to be honest right now. Here's a moment of truth. Do you want to know what the catch is? They all say yes. I say, okay. The catch to what I'm going to teach you tonight is you and you and you and you see, I'm going to tell you everything you need to do to help the majority of people with neuropathy. I'm going to help you avert the potholes and the detours, and I'm going to help you escape the jail of sick care and go straight to the freedom of health care. But here's the catch. As someone who was raised on a 1,000-acre a horse and cattle ranch in Washington State, I tried to take them horses to the water every day, but I could never make them drink. And
Wow.
I can make a patient take an action to take control of their health care and to find health care and stop taking these pills and believe that they can help themselves get better. It's all about inspiration and motivation. They must take an action. And if they don't, nobody can help them.
Right. It's up to them. Right.
Absolutely. If it is to be, it's up to me.
That's true. That is, I like the analogy that you gave about the horses. I think you said horses, sorry, to give them water and they're not going to drink it. They have to choose to do it. And I like that you're giving your audience options and giving them a bit the story. The story is very helpful. And I think, my personal opinion, I think some of the doctors here aren't, they need to get up to date.
They do. And unfortunately, we live in this, and I don't mean to be political at all with what I'm going to say, but I think what I'm going to say is true. I think today's FDA and CDC are controlled more by big pharma and by political winds than they are by the sacred oath that they have or mission to provide the best information at the highest level of integrity to the American public about what works, regardless of financial ramifications. And I think that's just super critical for everyone to understand and to be able to put forward their best efforts. And it's okay to hire a doctor. It's okay to interview doctors. I interview my doctors. And I think it's very important that you do that. And I want to say very clearly, I am not a doctor. I'm not a licensed medical provider. I am a patient who got sick and tired of being sick and had to find a way to control my life again because I was losing the quality of my functions. When you struggle to walk from the bed to the bathroom to the lazy boy chair, you don't have much quality of life.
Right. That's true.
I used to love to walk our dog. She would walk as far as could be. And then when she got tired, she just sat down until we picked her up. Well, we got so sick with my neuropathy, I'd take her for a walk and then I'd have to sit down and she wanted to keep walking. I couldn't walk my dog as far as I used to. I couldn't dance with my wife anymore.
Right.
All these things are life-altering issues. And so I've been fortunate enough to be hired to speak at doctors' conferences and provide them a patient's perspective of what diabetes and neuropathy is like to live with. And I've done over 1,000 of these discussions and talks to patients. And I've consulted with well over 3,000 patients in the last 10 years.
That's awesome.
And I have this burning desire, Bridget, to go faster, to talk to more people, to spread the word quicker. And it's just something that I cannot ignore and I can't deny.
It's important, and you feel it in your heart, right, to do this. And this is what we need, more patient advocates. Is that the right word? Patient advocacy.
Yes.
From a patient's perspective, and the doctors, the medical industry needs this feedback. They need to understand. And I'm sure with your experience, it's like mine, I connected better with the nurses. And that's, I only worked with the doctors at the end that would let me talk to them. And they were open to it. But it's because they were more of a specialized. But I've seen they just need to be more updated. And some people think that functional medicine or the holistic is woo, but it's not. Right? By woo-woo, people think, no, it helped me heal. It helps so many other people heal. It's helping you heal. It's just amazing that here we don't talk about this neuropathy, the thing that you're dealing with. We don't talk about it. And we need to, because people try to hide it and they end up making it worse, is my understanding. It could make it worse and it can cause irreparable.
The nation is not their friend.
Yes, it's not. Based on your experiences and stuff, what do you think? I'll try to narrow it down. Your biggest lesson from all this, from your experiences to share, what do you think is the biggest takeaway?
There's several of them, but I think it all has to start with understanding that you're in charge of your health and you're in charge of your life, and you should not give the control over your life and the decisions for your health to a medical provider and take everything they tell you to be the gospel truth. Because I believe that almost every medical provider has good intentions. It's not about good intentions. But when it comes to this disease, when it comes to what I battled with, I learned by dealing with different medical providers who had good intentions, the good intentions never fed the bulldog. And the bulldog was my neuropathy. And so their good intentions was not helping me, and they weren't listening to me 100%. And so I had to take control. That's the number one thing that I tried to get across any patient with this terrible disease or chronic inflammatory type of disease. You've got to take control. You've got to research. You've got to study. You've got to understand this. You cannot be afraid to ask questions. And if it offends that doctor, can I just tell you this? You've got the wrong doctor.
Yes.
Do you agree?
Yes. Am I right? I agree. And part of the research, I think, is to get opinions, multiple opinions for your issue. And because they're learning from each other as well. And I think there's just so much out there. And it's tougher when you live more rural, is my understanding. When you're having a rural area, it's a little bit harder.
Nothing for neuropathy out there. Nothing.
Yeah, that's you know, again, it's all connected to our healthcare system. I can go down a rabbit hole on that. But I was just really lucky because I wasn't afraid to speak up, and you weren't.
Yes.
And that you just got to speak up and ask questions. And if the doctor, even if it's up to you, and then you still, I also recommend, by the way, guys, when you go to these doctor's appointments, have someone with you, because you're not going to hear everything. Because I did that one time at one of the doctors talk, and I was talking about surgery in my brain. I'm like, I was by myself. That was my mistake. You got to learn from your mistakes too. I didn't hear. All I heard was drilling in my skull, and then I didn't hear anything else. And that freaked, but I highly recommend, my thing is have someone with you when you're going to some of these doctor's appointments, because they can help you take notes, and they can also ask questions, because it's not, they might think of something that you're not thinking of, right? Different perspectives are very helpful. And that's why the research is super critical. That's really right up there. And have you written a book, Keith? I'm just curious.
I'm in the process of writing a trilogy of three books. One is about my neuropathy life, No Retreat, No Surrender. Another one is about the difference of between sick care and health care and how to tell from that standpoint. And then another part of the book is about the evil symptom of neuropathy, depression. And the fact that depression is so important, because really, truly, even if we lose our physical strength, we can always have our mental strength, unless we suffer, you know, a disease like Alzheimer's or something along those lines. But my point is this, is that it's the mental strength that controls the physical strength to begin with. And if you're depressed and you don't feel like moving and you don't want to be social and you don't want to see somebody and you just want to give up, it doesn't matter how strong you are physically. So this book about the evil symptom of neuropathy, depression, is really important to me. And I hope that I will have these available in ebook within the next 60 days.
That's awesome. I think sharing stories with books are just, I think they're really helpful. That's me. I'm one of those people that like to hold things in my hands. And the ebook is fine too. You have your tablet.
Mm-hmm.
And you just got to be a good role model. And sharing stories are so helpful. And that's one of the reasons I started this podcast, because we learn from each other. It's so important.
I think for people to learn from you or from you are, to me, are extremely relatable. And I understand some of your journey you've been through without us getting too much into it, because of all the people I've talked to in my life. And I think this is so important. I agree 1,000 times with you about the importance of telling your story. It's important. People need to hear it. And you never know who it's going to touch at the right moment. And then the other thing you don't know is I'm sharing a story with you, and it may not impact your life, but it may impress you enough to share my story with someone else, because I don't know who you know.
Correct.
And you don't know who I know. So I can share your story with someone who really needs to hear it, who really may be going through something similar that you went through and needs to know they're not the only person going through it.
I'm sure you never thought, like you mentioned, you were young, you're having to deal with this.
Yeah.
But you learned, you built up your resilience and you got stronger. And and to be open to asking, looking at different options is why you're still here. And you made the choices, right?
Yeah. And
It
you
is.
know, it wasn't in the beginning. It wasn't.
Yes, I'm
Not
sure.
easy sometimes today. If I get too cold, it got down to freezing and 7 degrees in our area the other day, and I hurt. Cold weather's not a friend of neuropathy,
I
Scott.
bet. Yeah, that's probably why you want to live where it's a little bit warmer. It's as we get older, I think that's in general, it's harder on our bodies the colder it is. But
I totally agree.
I think this has been a wonderful conversation. And where can people learn more about you for those that are listening?
It's not up yet, but it will be because I decided to take it to another level. But the neuropathywarrior.com website will be live in the next couple of days. So neuropathywarrior.com. And that will lead them to neuropathy truth, and it will lead them to other things. Like I've developed a pain crisis for neuropathy users that's free of all fillers, 100% natural. And it's been widely accepted and applauded by neuropathy patients. All of that is there at neuropathywarrior.com.
That's awesome. And for those that are listening, I'll have the link in the description. And I think this is awesome. We definitely connected because I'm like, yeah, I really get what you're doing. It's a pain. You got to be a PETA sometimes. It's okay.
And can I just say, I've done quite a few of these as a guest on various podcasts. You are really, truly enjoyable. And I just feel your genuineness coming through about your story and why you're doing this. And I compliment you. And I really wish you all the success in the world to be able to share your story with as many people as you can, because I think it's important.
I really appreciate that. It means a lot to me, Keith. And I know you're busy, but I thank you so much for your time today.
Bye-bye.
And thanks for listening, everybody.